Revelation chapter 1, beginning in verse number 1, the Word of God says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servant things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the Word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother, and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a great trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea." I want us to go back in verse number 10. I want us to note John's words there at the beginning. He says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." Thank you. You may be seated. It was John Charles Ryle, a preacher and pastor in England from 1816 to 1900, who once stated, "Let us never forget that our feelings about Sundays are sure tests of the state of our souls." The person who can find no pleasure in giving God one day in the week is manifestly unfit for heaven. Heaven itself is nothing but an eternal Sabbath. If we cannot enjoy a few hours in God's service once a week in this world, it is plain that we could not enjoy an eternity in His service in the world to come. We need to ask ourselves this morning, are Mr. Ryle's words true or false? Was he a faithful and concerned biblical preacher or a fanatical and conceited tyrannical preacher? Well, I believe that he was a faithful and concerned biblical preacher. I believe his words were true then and are true today. And though it may cause some discomfort listening to those words, I believe Ryle gives a clear and convicting statement that is exactly what we need to hear in 2016 regarding the subject of the Lord's Day. And so this morning, and possibly continuing next week, I want to speak to you about that subject, the subject of the Lord's Day. I've entitled this message, "The Importance of the Lord's Day." When I say the Lord's Day, I mean Sunday. And my sermon this morning and next week will be more instructive, more topical in its nature, seeking to teach and explain why this day, Sunday, is the Lord's Day, and also what the purpose of this day ought to be. And unfortunately, the importance of the Lord's Day, Sunday, has become antique. It's become old-fashioned and outdated. It's become like a 1950s classic car. It's a nice idea, but really, who drives those cars around anymore? And I think we need to visit this truth again as a church, and I think we need to have this truth heralded through churches again throughout our land. And I think there are many reasons why we do not understand the importance of the Lord's Day. I think there are three primary reasons. Number one, because it has not been explained. Secondly, I think we do not see its importance because it has not been emphasized. And then thirdly, I think we do not understand its importance because it has not been expected. In other words, I think we misunderstand what the Lord's Day is all about because we have not been visited from the Scriptures regarding its truth and its purpose. And also, pastors, preachers, other church leaders have not held others accountable when it comes to the Lord's Day. And in our culture, the Lord's Day has simply become just part of the weekend. It's become a day of recreation. It's become a day to finish those things that have been undone throughout the rest of the week. And I think that we need to visit the Scriptures and examine our hearts to see truly what the Lord's Day should be all about. Now, you are present this morning, are you not? And this is Sunday. There was a reason why you woke up. There was a reason why you got dressed, went into your car, and drove to this place we call Calvary Baptist Church of beautiful Yucca Valley. Now, some, this has been your tradition forever. Since you were a child, you always went to church, and you always went to church on Sunday morning. For others, maybe not. And when you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, a new tradition started in your heart and life. For others, perhaps you were drug here this morning, or nagged. We need to go to church, and you need to be there. You're going to be there whether you like it or not. But you are here this morning on Sunday, and you are here in this place, Calvary Baptist Church, and we are here for a specific reason. Why are we here? We need to ask ourselves this question. What does Sunday truly mean to us? Is it only a tradition? Is it merely a spiritual duty that we check off the list and that we've gone to church and that was our duty for the week? Do we come because we feel like we have to, or do we come because we want to? And these are important questions to ask because it will reveal our heart and our understanding of why we meet on Sunday, why we meet on the Lord's Day. So I want to speak to you about this subject, and I want to speak to you beginning by looking at our first point, and that being the origin of the Lord's Day. The origin of the Lord's Day. Do you know why it is we meet on Sunday? This is important. Again, I think we presume that everybody knows why we meet on this day, the first day of the week. But not everybody knows why. It's just become tradition. It's just the way it is in our American culture. But we need to see from Scripture the origin of the Lord's Day. Today, millions of people around the world have already gathered, are currently gathering, and will gather at a church service of some kind. Millions. There are Christians gathering right now as a church plant in community centers and in local schools. There are other established churches gathering together, worshiping the Lord, receiving God's Word because they've been doing it for years and it's been preached on and they know why they are meeting. And others are meeting, they're gathering to this day They're gathering secretly, either underground or in somebody's home. We need to ask, why do these millions choose to gather on this particular morning? Why not Saturday? Why not Saturday night? Why not Monday morning? Why not Tuesday night? Why Sunday morning? Well, I want to answer that by taking you to two places in Scripture this morning, if you will. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. And we see something emphasized here in the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul. Acts chapter 20, verse number 7. The Apostle Paul is traveling, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is a missionary. He is fulfilling the great commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ to go out and to preach the gospel, to baptize converts, and then to teach them all things that Christ has commanded. And here Paul comes to a city called Troas. And Paul stays in this city for one full week. And we read this as he is ministering to these people in Acts chapter 20, verse number 7. It says, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight." So notice that first phrase, verse number 7, it says that they met when? On the first day of the week. And what happened on that first day of the week? Well, the disciples gathered, there was an assembly, and the preacher preached. And he preached until midnight. And all God's people said, "All right, did you hear that? Video caught that. Tonight, we're having an all-night service." Preachers who preach long and go beyond the time, they're just trying to fulfill the Scripture here and be like Paul. But they met on the first day of the week. There was a fellowship, there was a gathering, and then there was the ministry of the Word. Paul stood up, there was one preacher, there wasn't a dance team, there wasn't a skit, there wasn't comedy, there was preaching. He preached the Word of God, which is able to save the souls of others and able to sanctify those who know the Lord Jesus Christ. And this happened on Sunday, the first day of the week. Then also look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. Again, we have the Apostle Paul. And Paul is writing this letter to Christians in Corinth, instructing them in the ways of God, speaking to teach the truth of God in love. And we notice 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 through 2. Notice the words here that Paul uses. He writes, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." Paul, addressing believers in Corinth, is writing and instructing them to come together when? The first day of the week, and to give an offering on this day. It is assumed that the disciples assembled and that an offering was taken on this specific day. So in these two texts, in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, and 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, we have a gathering, we have a sermon, and we have an offering. What are three aspects of our service here this morning? We gather, we take an offering, there's a sermon. And these things were not made up by men. These are found as traditions of the Word of God, things that were instituted by God Himself. And they met when? On the first day of the week, being Sunday. So we have these two texts, Acts 20, 7, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, and then in our text that we read at the beginning of our sermon, Revelation chapter 1, 10, John says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. What is the Lord's day? It is Sunday. You'll hear me purposely using that word, the Lord's day, the Lord's day. Happy Lord's day, happy Sunday, because this is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, all these writings in Acts, 1 Corinthians, and Revelation, all these writings were post-Christ. They came after Jesus came to earth, he was crucified and rose again. And this signifies that the Jewish Sabbath was buried when Christ was buried. And a new day was resurrected when Christ resurrected. And this is the Lord's Day, Sunday. So we ask, why do we meet on Sunday? Why did Paul meet on Sunday? Well, Christians meet on the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, because we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ rose victoriously from the dead, and He rose victoriously from the dead on the first day of the week. 1 Corinthians 15, 3-4, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I have also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." What was the third day? It was the first day of the week, the day in which Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Again, if you will, John chapter 20, verses 1-9. Look at this here. And we see there's a change, and there's a great change. The Jews gathered on the Sabbath, Saturday. Christ came, He preached the gospel, He allowed many eyebrows to raise because Jesus didn't seem to be keeping the Sabbath day as strictly as others would like Him. And we see there's a transformation, there's a change that is about to happen. John chapter 20, verses 1-9. We have here the glorious resurrection account. It says, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid Him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the Scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home." Then, if you will, look at verse 19. It says, "Then the same day," the first day of the week, "the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so sent I you." So we see something happening here. What is it? The Lord Jesus Christ is placing emphasis on one day being the first day of the week, that being Sunday. Why do we worship on Sunday? Listen to the words of Charles Spurgeon. He says, "We gather together on the first rather than the seventh day of the week because redemption is even a greater work than creation and more worthy of commemoration, and because the rest which followed creation is far outdone by the rest which ensues upon the completion of redemption. Like the apostles, we meet on the first day of the week and hope that Jesus may stand in our midst and say, Peace be unto you. Our Lord has lifted the Sabbath from the old and rusty hinges whereon the law had placed it long before, and set it on the new golden hinges, which his love hath fashioned. He hath placed our rest day not at the end of a week of toil, but at the beginning of the rest which remains for the people of God. Every first day of the week we should meditate on the rising of our Lord and seek to enter into the fellowship with Him in His risen life. We celebrate the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ makes us different than all the religions of this world. Muhammad died and is dead. Joseph Smith died and is dead. Ron L. Hubbard, the creator of Scientology, will not rise again. But Jesus Christ, the God-man, came. He was crucified. He was buried. And He rose again victoriously to prove that He was God. And so we meet together on this morning to celebrate the life that we have in Him. Without the resurrection, our preaching is in vain. Without the resurrection, our very faith is in vain. So we meet together remembering the gospel and the gospel message and what Jesus Christ has done for us. Interesting enough, also, the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, the day in which God fulfilled the promise of Joel 2, when God poured out His Spirit and 3,000 people were gloriously converted. Guess what day it was on? Sunday. Interesting. There's a new pattern happening in the New Testament. God is putting the exclamation mark on this day, and it is the Lord's Day, Sunday. So, to recap, why do we gather on Sunday? Well, number one, because it is the day in which Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Number two, because it is the day in which the Bible declares New Testament believers gathered and worshiped. Because it is called the Lord's Day in Revelation chapter 1, and because historically Sunday was the normal meeting day for Christians. Historians write and say, if you look back at even the first century, you will find believers meeting and meeting on the first day of the week. Now, there are some Seventh-day Adventists who will argue with us and who will deny the truth that I have just declared to you. I can remember being in Seattle, standing on a street corner and handing out tracts, seeking to talk to people about the Lord, and I had a man come up to me, a Seventh-day Adventist, and he wished to argue me left and right that we should not be meeting on Sunday, and actually meeting on Sunday is actually a sin. And we are sinning for not meeting on Saturdays, and seeking to use the Scripture as my argumentation. It didn't matter. He became more red in the face, more angry at me. And we chose to even leave that spot and go to a different spot. He is following me, yelling and angry that we are worshiping on the Lord's Day on Sunday, thinking that we were children of the devil. And he even confessed that we meet, he said, on the Lord's Day Sunday because of the Emperor Constantine, who supposedly started this tradition. And I said, wrong. If you look at Scripture, here's our argumentation of why we meet. So you may have people who wonder. And there are people who meet on Saturdays rather than Sunday. And you need to know the reason why we meet on Sunday, the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. There is a reason for it. It is not just man-made tradition. It is truth. It is Scripture. And so you need to know why we do what we do. We should not be blind followers of Jesus Christ. We should not get in the habit of doing things because others are doing it. Others are expecting us to do it. Listen, church family, we should do things knowing why we do why we do. We should not be the blind following the blind, otherwise we will both fall into the ditch. And so we look from Scripture and we see, first and foremost, the origin of the Lord's Day. It's clear, it's evident, it's in the Word of God. Why do we meet on Sunday here? Basic statement, because it was appointed by God. Secondly, this morning, I want to look at the purpose of the Lord's Day. Why do we meet Okay, God tells us to meet on this day, but why? Why was it appointed by God? What is the purpose of gathering on Sunday? Let me give you three primary reasons. Number one, we meet together this day to worship God, to worship the Son, Jesus Christ, and we worship the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And how do we worship God in this place? We worship God by singing praises. We start off our service by singing, "Crown Him with many crowns, the Lamb upon His throne." And we gather together as a church family, as God's people, to praise and glorify His name. This is why we come. We come to worship Him. We worship Him by singing praises. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. And we're reminding ourselves of His goodness. We're reminding ourselves of His nature, of His character. And we're seeking that through these truths, our hearts will be stirred to love Him more and to serve Him and adore Him for who He is. And so we come to worship Him. We worship Him by singing praises. We worship Him by receiving the teaching and the preaching of His Word. In the book of Ephesians, God tells us that God has instituted teachers and preachers for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. God has established His church, the local church, so it can be a means whereby others come to know Christ as Savior and others come to grow in that grace and knowledge. And so part of our worship is receiving the Word of God. Sunday school teachers have just finished teaching the Word of God to children. This is a part of worship. Paul preached the Word. The Word of God is central on the Lord's Day. How else do we worship God? Well, we worship God by receiving an offering. This too is an act of worship. As we desire God's work to continue in this place, we are not dependent upon another organization. We do not write letters begging the community to support us. No, we who are covenanted church members here at Calvary Baptist Church give sacrificially so we can continue preaching the gospel here in this place, and giving even is a part of this worship on the Lord's Day. How else do we worship the Lord? Well, we worship the Lord by observing the ordinances. When do we partake of the Lord's Supper? When do we baptize others? On Sundays. And what are the ordinances but visible manifestations of the gospel? The death, the burial, the resurrection. Again, the baptismal illustration ties in with why we meet on this day, the resurrection. We remember the body that was broken. We remember the blood that was shed when we partake of the Lord's Supper, because we remember the message of the gospel. We meet together and gather on this day to remember what Christ has done for us. And through all this, we worship Him. This is first and foremost. Our Sunday gathering should be a foretaste of heaven. What will a believer do for all eternity? Worship the One who has been slain. So Sundays are a preparation for eternity. Sundays are a small taste of heaven. And I don't know about you, but in my heart, I can't wait until Sundays. I can't wait to see my brothers and sisters in Christ. I can't wait to gather together and sing praises unto God. I can't wait to be unified. I can't wait until we can serve the Lord together. It is a foretaste of heaven. In heaven, we will be worshiping Christ and praising His name. So why do we meet? What is the purpose of Sunday? We meet to worship God. Secondly, we meet to fellowship with God's people. To fellowship with God's people. And the Lord's Day is not only a foretaste of heaven, but is a weekly family reunion. Now, if you have bad memories of family reunions here on earth, I'm sorry. But this is a good family reunion. At least it ought to be a good family reunion. All right? Not a family reunion where we're looking at Uncle Billy and wondering where he's been for 15 years and all the drama and problems and everything else, and everybody gets mad and leaves and parties crash. No, Sundays are beautiful family reunion. Through the week, we scatter. We go to our own homes. We go to our own workplaces. We are ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. On Sundays, we gather together to rejoice at what Christ is doing. We gather together to encourage one another in the most holy faith. We gather together to strengthen one another, to remember that we are accountable to a church and to a church family. And so what a wonderful opportunity it is to come to church and to be reunited with those whom we love. It's a family reunion. All those who are born again are brothers and sisters in Christ. And we gather uniting because of Christ. We gather worshiping together, and we gather to fellowship one with another. I like to see Sundays. I like to see our services as family time around the dinner table. In the Coleman home, every evening we gather together at our dining table. Unless something hinders it, which sometimes, unfortunately, it happens. But I strive to be there for evening dinner with my family. This is family time. It is time to eat, and it's time to eat together. And it's not only time to eat together, but it's time to fellowship. And I'm asking my children, what did you learn in school today? I'm asking my wife, how were the children in school today? I'm encouraging my wife to persevere in teaching my children in school. This is family time. If there are things to take care of, things to talk about, we do it at the dinner table. Now we do it in other seasons as well, but this is our family time. This is how I grew up. We sat around the dinner table. My mom asked me, how was school today? What did you learn? My response was nothing. She said, why am I sending you to school? But I'm thankful for those times. And unfortunately, we've thrown out even that concept of the dinner table. I was so busy running here, running there, running to this sports activity and place to place. And we have TV dinner trays and TV dinners, and we're watching TV, and there's no communication, no talking. But in the illustration of the dinner table, I see services as this. It's our time as a church family to eat, to feast upon the Word of God, and to fellowship. To come alongside one another and say, hi, how was your week? Are you staying faithful? How are your devotions? Is there anything I can pray for? Is there anything I can do for you? This is what Sundays ought to be about. There are times where I'm unable to make it to the dinner table. My kids always ask, they always, always, always ask my wife, where's Daddy? Why isn't he here? He's not in his place. Why? Why do they ask that? Well, because it's family time. And so it ought to be in the Lord's Day. We meet together as a church family. And to be honest, church family, I look around and I notice who's here and who's not. And I sometimes wonder, I say, where are they? Why aren't they here? This is our family time. This is time to eat. This is time to fellowship. This is time to get to know one another better. This is time to worship the Lord. And we see there are many commands in Scripture given to us to fulfill the one another's. We are commanded to love one another. We are commanded to encourage one another, to admonish one another, to comfort one another, to exhort one another. We are admonished to pray for one another, to confess our faults one to another, to bear one another's burdens. And we cannot accurately obey these commands if we neglect the assembly of ourselves together. God did not mean for us to fulfill these commands outside the church, but inside the church. He is writing to churches, the church in Galatia, the church in Philippi, the church in Colossae, and we fulfill these commands to serve one another in the context of the local church. So why do we meet on this day? We gather to fellowship. Now notice, fellowship is always after worship. We cannot put the cart in front of the horse. Worship is not after fellowship. Fellowship is after worship. Our primary reason for coming to church should not be to meet with friends and socialize. Christ never instituted His church to be a spiritual community center to keep Christians busy and entertained. This is not just a moral atmosphere to talk about sports and politics. This is an atmosphere that we worship God and encourage one another. Christ instituted His church to worship and serve Him and to carry out the Great Commission. So understand this. Yeah, we do fellowship. This is part of gathering on the Lord's Day, but this is secondary to worship. And we need to examine our hearts. Why do we come? Is it because we want to see our best friend and this is the only time we can see them? Is it because we gain some fulfillment by serving in a certain capacity? Or do we come desiring to worship Him, to know His Word that much deeper, and to be a blessing to others? Why do we worship? We come to worship Him, to fellowship with God's people. Thirdly, to refresh our souls. Why did God give us this day? He gave us this day so our souls can be refreshed. He gave us this day to focus our hearts and minds upon Him. God knows that we are prone to wander. God knows that the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. God knows that we are prone to run ourselves in the ground and become overworked, working and being concerned with the things of this life. He knows that. And so He gave us this day, Sunday, to stop, to be refreshed, to examine our hearts, to be encouraged, to be challenged. And what a joy, what a comfort that He did give us this day. So let me encourage you, church family, to use this day, to use Sundays to refresh your souls. And do so by being faithful, by not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together. Let me encourage you to come not only on Sunday mornings, but to come Sunday nights. And we see there in those two passages that they met in the evening. Paul preached till midnight. Now, we usually don't preach till midnight, although I could, and you know. But we don't. But there was the evening atmosphere of worship. And there's maybe a shadow of the Old Testament. There was a morning sacrifice and an evening sacrifice. We meet mornings and evenings, and we meet this day to know Him, to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. And it's called the Lord's Day, not just the Lord's morning. Now, I want to be sensitive because I know sometimes work can hinder others, and that's just the culture that we live in. And there are officers and there are nurses and others who have to work on Sundays because of their career. But if there's nothing hindering you from coming, also I know that there is health concerns as well, but I know that if you are able to come and to come with the right heart, you will be blessed and you will be a blessing. So make the Lord's Day the Lord's Day. And also use this day to read and meditate on the Scriptures. This is the time where we can set aside the things of this life and focus on the Lord and to receive the Word of God and to be refreshed, to take a bath in Scripture so that we will be ready to serve the Lord in the new week. Also, let me encourage you, these are practical tips. Let me encourage you to find a good Christian book to read. Something that will stir your soul. Something that will encourage you. Maybe a biography. Maybe a devotional book. But read good Christian books that will help you in your Christian walk. What better time than Sunday afternoon? What better time also to just stop and to pray? To pray for the new week. And to pray for those concerns that are on your heart. To stop and refresh. To pray. And I'm going to say something that will surprise you. I think it's okay also on the Lord's Day to take a little nap, to sleep. Proverbs 1:27, and so he gives his beloved sleep. Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preacher, preached a whole sermon on the topic of sleep and its importance. He saw that it was important for Christian soldiers to rest. It's okay to take a nap. Your body needs rest. If you will not rest, you will feel it the rest of the week. If you will not rest your mind and pray and give yourself to scriptures and coming to church and being spiritually refreshed, you will run down. And I can speak from experience of those times where I have allowed the Lord's Day to become just another day in the week, another day of work, another day of entertainment. And I feel it the rest of the week. So God's given us this day. If we don't work, it's not on our schedule, it's the weekend, to rest, to meditate, fall asleep in a lazy boy chair. I think that's a blessing from the Lord. And all those men said amen. Just sleep after the sermon, not during it. Sleep is good, but not during 11 o'clock hour. Let me conclude here. I need to conclude. American evangelist Dwight Moody, D.L. Moody, he lived from 1837 to 1899, said the following. Now, he considered Sunday to be a Christian Sabbath. Now, whether you agree with that or not, that phrase and using that phrase, that's up to you, but he has some very important things to think about. He considered Sunday the new Sabbath. And he writes, quoting from Exodus 20, verse 8, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." He says this, "I honestly believe that this commandment is just as binding today as it ever was. I have talked with men who have said that it has been abrogated, but when they have never been able to point to any place in the Bible where God repealed it. When Christ was on the earth, he did nothing to set it aside. He freed it from the traces under which the scribes and Pharisees had put it and gave it its true place. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. It is just as practicable and as necessary for men today as it ever was, in fact, more than ever, because we live in such an intense age. The Sabbath was binding in Eden, and it has been in force ever since. The fourth commandment begins with the word remember, showing that the Sabbath already existed when God wrote this law on the tables of the stone at Sinai. How can men claim that this one commandment has been done away with when they will admit that the other nine are still binding?" Now again, whether you agree with that or not, that's not the point. Here's where I want to emphasize. He says this, "I believe that the Sabbath," he's talking about Sunday, the Lord's Day, "the Sabbath question today is a vital one for the whole country. It is the burning question of the present time. If you give up the Sabbath, the church goes. If you give up the church, the home goes. And if the home goes, the nation goes." Writing in the 1800s. That is the direction in which we are traveling. The church of God is losing its power on account of so many people giving up the Sabbath and using it to promote selfishness. Show me a nation that has given up the Sabbath, and I will show you a nation that has got the seed of decay. It used to be that businesses were closed on Sundays. It used to be the main priority of the Christians to be in church on Sundays. It was never a question on Saturday night, are we going to church tomorrow or are we not? D.L. Moody has some words for us to think about as we look at our nation and wonder why it is the way it is. The Sabbath goes, the Sunday goes, he's calling it the Sabbath. The Sunday goes, the Lord's Day go, the church is going. The church is going, the home is going. The home is going, the nation is going. There are some powerful things to think about there. That's why I'm preaching on this. Our nation needs to be rescued. It needs to be rescued by the grace and power of God through the proclamation of the gospel. And listen, we have a duty as Christians to live out the commandments of God and to follow the Lord's ways. I think we need to get back to honoring this day. Now, I'm not going to set legalistic terms and say that you're a heathen for watching baseball and football on Sunday. I'm not going to draw those lines. And some will draw those lines, and some will think that you are worldly for even eating out on Sundays. I'm not going to draw those lines. Let every man be persuaded in his own heart. But there is something about honoring the Lord's Day. There is something about honoring Christ's church, honoring His Word. And I know this, if we honor God, if we honor God's Word, if we honor God's Word, God will honor us. So this is important, church family. This is my reason for preaching on it. We need to know why we gather on this day, and we need to know what the purpose is for gathering on this day. And there are some who are not here who I wish were here. But you're here. And you can help me to keep others accountable. Again, I think we've strayed from this because we have not expected others to follow in this way. And I'm going to do my best, church family, I'm telling you right now, as a pastor, as a shepherd, I'm going to do my best to nudge you a few times. Hey, I missed you on Sunday. Is everything okay? Is everything all right? Where were you? We miss you when you're gone. This is our family time. And it ought to be. And if you disagree with me, and you can take me to Scripture, or you can stay home, I suppose. I don't want you to stay home. I think we see the reality from Scripture. It's clear. So we need to get back to these basic truths. We need to get back to honoring this day. And next week I'm going to speak about more practical things about the Lord's Day and also why it's important to be in the Lord's house when the doors are open. And again, I know there are some things. I'm understanding that. I'm trying to be sensitive. I'm understanding that. I don't want to come down hard, take the sledgehammer and say, everybody, you be here or else you're out. No, I'm not coming down that way. Please understand me. But I do believe we should strive to be in God's church when the church doors are open. And I believe this not because I'm a pastor and I preach, but because I'm a Christian. And I believe this is the Lord's day, and this is the Lord's church, and we are the Lord's family. J.C. Ryle, let us never forget that our feelings about Sundays are sure tests of the state of our souls. What are our feelings about Sundays? Is it just another day in the week? Is it the only day that we worship and hear God's Word? Do we set it on the dashboard or on our shelf at home, never visiting it until the next Sunday? How do we treat Sundays? Are we worshiping Him in our hearts? Do we desire to come together and ascribe worship to Him? Are we fellowshipping with His people? Some people say, I don't know of people in the church. Well, if you were here, if you got out of your comfort zone, you would know them. I don't know the vision. I didn't hear that announcement. I don't know what's going on. Well, it's another reason why we need to be here. And if you're not saved this morning, you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Realize Jesus Christ came to die for sinners. He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Maybe that's your need this morning. Maybe you need Jesus Christ. Maybe you need the assurance that all is well with your soul. If that's you this morning, please look to the Lamb of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Would you join me in prayer? Gracious God and Father, Lord, we thank You for Your Word. How it instructs us in all ways of life and ministry. Father, forgive us for not seeing the importance of this day. Forgive us of treating this day lightly. Father, we want to honor your word. We want to walk in your ways. We pray that as a church family, we will continue to do so. And if we are honest, Lord, we will confess that there are times in our hearts where the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. There are times in our hearts that we are tempted to stay home. We are tempted to go about the business of this life and treat it as an ordinary day and to forsake the assembly of ourselves together. But Father, help us to be convinced from your word of its importance. Help us to continue in the purpose in which you have made this day to worship you and to fellowship with your people. Oh Lord, I pray that you will add your blessing to the word that has been preached. In Jesus' name, amen.